Once again, I am grateful to stand before you and share with you God's Word, a study of God's Word, another study of God's Word, as we continue to deal with the importance of shining as lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, or as I've noted for the theme this year, lights in a dark world. Based upon Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, a text that we will appeal to it a little bit in our lesson this morning. Of course, what we've been doing in this first portion of this particular study is we've been dealing with the importance of example. And we've noted various ways that examples are described within the New Testament in describing what we are. We've talked about how we are to be the salt of the earth and how we are to be as an aroma and how we are to be as leavening and in various other aspects such as that. Then last week we dealt with the fact that we are the light of the world, or at least we began to examine how we are the light of the world. And what we talked about last week as we dealt with the subject of light is we talked about the source of the light that we are to be reflecting in our lives. And of course the source of that light is God. We read there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we noted a number of qualities associated with that. We noted how, first of all, God created light. Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And if you want to go a few verses later, on day number 4, He placed the sun and the moon and stars in the skies, which are a source of light to us. James 1:17 refers to Him as the Father of lights. But we also noted that not only does God create light, God controls light. And we looked at numerous examples in scriptures where God interacted with individuals and He dealt with the sun. The sun would stand still for a day, or the sundial would move back instead of forward in a promise to Hezekiah. There was darkness on the face of the earth when Jesus died. So we find him physically, literally manipulating light. And if God can do that physically, He can do that spiritually as well. And of course, our reference as far as example and understanding that is God is the source of the light that we need to be shining in our lives. Then we talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. And that's actually something that is emphasized in numerous passages of Scripture. And especially in the Gospel of John, the idea of light is one of the subjects that he deals with in great detail. As a matter of fact, he begins his letter by talking about Jesus was the light, which was the life of men. And he describes that and the interaction of Jesus with Nicodemus in chapter 3, which we'll talk a little bit about this morning in our lesson, light versus darkness. Jesus in John 8, "I am the light of the world," he described himself. And then in verse 9, he heals this man that was born blind. The way the text reads there, that had never happened before. And in the process of that, as he explains it, he says, "I am the light of the world." Well, there's more to that than just the fact that He is physical light. Jesus is also spiritual light. And He is our spiritual hope. And of course, in these we learn what this light is and how we are to be reflecting the light of Jesus and the light of God, which is what I want to focus on this morning. What we're going to deal with in this lesson is we're going to look at a handful of passages as we begin that show how we are light as examples. And secondly, just as we did when we talked about being the salt of the earth, you know, the various qualities that are associated with salt, we want to notice some qualities that are associated with light. And there's actually numerous qualities that we could look at in a study such as this. As a matter of fact, and I could be wrong about this, but as I think about the subject of light, perhaps the New Testament says more about light than it does any other illustration of the type of example that we are. The possible exception to that, but I don't think it is, would be that of a pattern, which we actually talked about, because there's a lot of passages that talk about pattern. But we see a whole lot about light. Which is why we want to talk about that. And of course, our theme is lights in a dark world. So I want us to understand light, and I want us to understand darkness. And that's why we want to emphasize this. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, in a very familiar passage dealing with the subject of light as an example. And that is found over in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 14 and following. Matthew 5 and verse number 14, this is still toward the beginning of what we describe as the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus there says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, something I found interesting as I was putting this together? Remember how we noted last week and we just mentioned how Jesus says, "I am the light of the world"? Have you ever thought about Jesus said the same thing about us? He describes Himself as the light of the world, but then He says, "We are the light of the world." And those things go hand in hand with each other. So I find that to be an interesting observation when you think about how Jesus describes us as an example. He says, "You are the light of the world. You are reflecting My light to the world." And because of that, you're not supposed to hide it under a basket. You're supposed to put it on a lampstand so that all can see it, because that's what the light is designed to do. You know, as that little song you would sing as you're growing up, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." That's the idea of what we are talking about based on this verse right here. And then in verse 16, He talks about when we are letting our light shine, God will be glorified by others as a result of that. So we see here a very clear passage that says light is a way that we are examples in this world. And then, of course, there is the passage of Scripture that we have used as our theme passage for this year, over in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse number 15, where Paul is challenging these brethren here, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." And then he goes on, "That you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." We are shining as light in the middle of this crooked and perverse generation. So what does that mean? Shining as lights in a dark world. Well, first of all, it's related to the gospel. And one of the things that we need to understand, the source of our light, as we pointed out, it is Jesus Christ. But it is revealed in His Word. And there's actually a number of passages that point this out. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and beginning in about verse number 3, Paul makes this point. He says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." And of course, he's talking about here, he's preaching the gospel, and there are some who don't want to see it. And the reason they don't want to see it is they don't want to accept it. But what they do is they put blinders on. That's the idea of the veil here. They put blinders on so that they cannot see it. And if it's veiled, it's because somebody deliberately put a veil there. And he goes on and he makes the point in the next verse where he says, "It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Notice how he describes the gospel here as the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now, while it's used in a text where he's talking about the devil's hiding that, he's also implying that that is what the gospel is. It is the light that reveals Christ. And he goes on in verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And there you have the idea of the glory of the light of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It is in His Word that we find that which we are to reveal. It is in His Word where we learn how to shine as lights in a dark world. Over in Acts chapter 13, here we find Paul is on his first preaching journey. And as he is on this journey here in verse number 47, he's describing to those who he's teaching that he's going to go not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, mainly because he was rejected by many of the Jews. And he makes the point there in verse number 46. He says, "Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first,'" that is the Jews, "'for since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. I want you to notice in the text there that Paul talks about how, you know, quoting from the old law, but making the point, "I have set you as a light to the Gentiles." Now, how was Paul a light to the Gentiles? Well, number one, by his example, but number two, by the gospel. The gospel that he was revealing to them. It was the Word of God, and that's what they glorified in there in verse number 48. They were glad and glorified the Word of the Lord, or gloried in the Word of the Lord, if you will. So we find that to be the case. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse number 19, we find in this particular text here, Peter made the statement, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." And notice how he makes the point that we have the prophetic word concerned, and you are to view it as a light that shines in a dark place. God's Word, again, it is the tool that we will use to reflect the light of God in our lives. The one final verse that we want to mention here over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 11. Paul here speaking to Timothy makes this observation where he says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." The Word of God is made to teach, and he talks about it's made for those who are breakers of the law, basically to tell them what the law is. But notice how he describes it as the glorious gospel. And what did we talk about last week when we talked about the Word of God, or God and light? Terms such as brightness and glory are associated with His light. And so we find the gospel, it's the source of, it's where we learn about the source of our light, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And we use the Word of God to teach others, to bring the glory of God to light in their lives. Now, above and beyond that, there are numerous other passages that we would give consideration to that deal with the fact that we are the light of the world. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, or they point to the way that we are light and how light is a part of us. We read in verse 5 of 1 John 1, "This is the message which we have heard and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all based on us walking in the light as He is in the light. So the light needs to influence us in our lives, and we need to be walking in that light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Paul there challenges these brethren, saying there, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I want you to walk as children of light. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, Paul here makes a point dealing with the Lord's return and so on, but he's making the observation here. He says, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober." And he goes on and he describes various things associated with that. We are of the day. We are of the day where there is light exposing what is going on around us. And then, of course, you have 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, we read here, it says, "Again, a commandment I write to you, which thing is true of Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And again, just the emphasis there is you are to abide in the light. And when you hate your brother and when you're not doing what you ought to, you're walking in darkness. You're not walking in light. You're not dwelling in light. Light is not abiding in you. So all of these passages describe the importance of light where we are concerned. So what exactly does that mean? As far as how are we light? Well, let's talk about some of the characteristics that are associated with light as we look at light in this world. And you know, we're living in an enlightened time. That is where we have a lot of understanding. You know, science with every year is gaining greater and greater understanding about this world and the way that it works. And I just want to tell you right now that the more they learn, the more it points toward a creator. Something that many want to ignore, but it does. But it's a time of enlightenment. And we're learning a whole lot about a whole lot of things. We're learning a lot about light. What light does for us. And I'm going to tell you right now, what physical light does for us, there are spiritual applications to those things. For example, light sustains life. One of the things that we learn is that we need light in order to survive. We need the sun and we need the moon in order to survive. We need the light of the sun in so many different ways. Light is absolutely essential for life to exist as it is. It's kind of interesting that Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 45, and this is in a text where Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. But one of the observations that he makes there in verse number 45 is he says, "I want you to be sons of the Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Light is a gift from God. And it's a gift He has given to everybody unconditionally. Physical light is something that all men enjoy because it sustains life. But I want to tell you right now that light also spiritually gives us life. Or you might say that life or light is spiritual light. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 4 where John begins to introduce Jesus. And in verse number 4 we read, it says, in Him, that is in Christ, was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus is life. What are we talking about? Light sustains life. In Jesus was life, and life was the light of men. They go hand in hand with each other. In Psalm 27 and in verse 1, the psalmist there says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse number 9, we have here a passage where Peter describes us as this priesthood that belongs to God. And he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, what are we to proclaim? The praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into light. Or another way of saying that, we proclaim the praises of Him who gave us light. Life-sustaining light. So that's one of the qualities that we find is associated with light. But another quality that's associated with light is the fact that it illuminates. And this is actually the obvious one. You know, when you think of all the qualities, you know, you flip a switch and you turn on the light. You know, light dispels darkness. And it illuminates. It illuminates what is around you. It reveals what is around you, which is the idea of that word illuminates. You know, you turn on the light and you can see. You can see what's around you, or if it's a focused light, you point it in a specific direction, like a flashlight, and it reveals what is in front of you in that particular direction. So light gives us illumination. Why is it that we can see so much better in the daytime than we can at night? It's because light illuminates. The light of the sun illuminates. And it's kind of interesting, if you study the history of God and His dealings with Israel, over in Exodus 13, after the children of Israel left Egypt, God provided a source of light that guided them, and it was there for them at all times. There was a cloud during the day, but at night it was a pillar of fire. So they had, a natural street lights, or however you want to describe that. The camp was lit up, illuminated by God. So you have the example there of it giving light to the people while they're in the wilderness so that they can see and do whatever it is they need to do during that time. In Psalm 119 and in verse 105, David there said, your lamp is a light to my, or a lamp to my, or a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. His word, it gives us direction. We're able to see because of the Word of God. It is a light to my path there and a lamp to my feet. You know, the Gospel is our light. It illuminates the truth of God's Word to us, just as we talked about a few moments ago. And can you wonder why? That's why we are called upon to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are to let your light illuminate. The light of the Gospel, the light of Christ, it is to illuminate your world around you. Don't hide it under a basket. So that's one of the qualities associated with that. And associated with the idea of illuminating is light exposes. It exposes that which is hidden from the dark. You know, and like I said, you've got the idea of light just letting you see what's around you, but realize that when a light is turned on, it exposes what's going on. You know, you've got the criminal that's breaking into a place, and a spotlight comes on, and all of a sudden he's caught, or he realizes that I need to get out of here. It exposes those who are doing that which they ought not to be doing. And that's one of the points that John made, and in his gospel, actually Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, you know, explaining his coming into this world. And one of the points that is made there in John chapter 3, and beginning in about verse number 19, Jesus says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Those who are in darkness hate the light because it exposes them. And that's the point. Light exposes error. It exposes that which is false, that which is evil. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse number 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 5, Paul there said, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God." Notice how he makes the point there. He's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He's going to expose the darkness. When we stand before God in judgment, we need to understand that all darkness is going to be exposed. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning in about verse 11, Paul there makes the point where he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Shine your light on the works of darkness and expose them for what they are. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." So you've got the idea of light exposing darkness. We'll talk more about that in another lesson as we talk about the darkness around us. But another thing that we need to give consideration to, and this is related to the exposing and this is related to the illuminating, is the fact that light provides security. It gives us security. You know, there's typically greater safety when there is light. You know, criminals are more likely to work in dark areas. They hide in dark places. But if you're in a place where that is well lit, and I'm talking about all around you, you know, where you can see darkness or somebody that's evil lurking, it's less likely that something's going to happen or you're going to be more prepared to deal with them. So light is a source of security where we are concerned. I do not believe it to be a mistake, and don't read anything. It's obviously what God wants to say in Romans 13, verse 12. Put on the gospel of light. And the idea of, put on the armor. Put on the armor of light. And the idea of an armor is something that you're doing what? You are defending yourself. So that armor is a type of security that we are to have in our lives. Then it's also interesting, you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we noted a little bit of this a few moments ago, but I want you to notice a couple of verses leading up to the fact that point out that we are not of the darkness, but of the day. I want you to notice in verse number 2, of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. And so on and so forth. And he goes on, we're not in darkness. You know, and this, some that just came to me just actually as I was putting this PowerPoint presentation together. You find it interesting that the day of judgment is described as the day of the Lord and not the night of the Lord? Ever think about that? You know, darkness. Oftentimes when you look at the judgment of God, the word darkness is associated with it. You know, we're talking about the wrath of God and the punishment of God. Dark clouds and things like that. But it's the day of the Lord. Why is it the day of the Lord? Because it's going to expose. It's the day of the Lord. Because that's where we're going to get our security. That's what's revealed there. And I think that that's just an interesting observation to think about. When we find the judgment day to come, it's described as a day where everything's going to be exposed. And we're going to have the protection that we need because we've trusted in that light. But another quality that's associated with light is it has healing properties. And I actually looked this up as I was preparing for this lesson. One of the things that sunlight does is it provides, it's a source of vitamin D, something that we need. It's not good for somebody to cramp themselves up in a house all day long and never get out in the sunlight. Yeah, and we're not talking about locking yourself up in a house and using artificial light. You need sunlight. You need the natural light of the sun to help you. In addition to that, it's actually said that sunlight is actually good for mental health. You know, sometimes when people are depressed, what they will say is, you know, get out and take a walk in the sun. Why is it that times of clouds and darkness are more, you know, they're described as gloomy? And sometimes people have a more gloomy disposition. Well, if the sun is shining and you're depressed, get out and go for a walk and enjoy the sun. It's good for you. That's the point. And they also say that being out in the sun can help you sleep better. Those are just some of the descriptions. You know, so you need to get some sun. You tell somebody that's been sick, somebody that even struggling with a cold and those kind of things. Get up and go outside and walk out, walk around a little bit in the sun. And it'll do wonderful things for your health. Now, spiritually, light is described with healing properties. Over in Malachi chapter 4, and in verse number 2, you read there, and this is the last chapter of the Old Testament, but you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The Son of Righteousness, and I'll tell you right now, that's a description of Jesus, pointing toward Jesus. He will come with healing in his wings. You know, you ever thought about how Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, he called himself the great, or he talks about those who are sick are the ones that need a physician. He basically said, I am the physician. And that comes on the heels of Jesus healing the man that was lame. You remember where he had four friends who carried him up on a roof and they lowered him down in there. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And he healed him. Physically, to show that he could heal him spiritually. That's really the point that you have there in that particular miracle as it takes place. Friends, we need the healing of our Lord. That's why we read a few moments ago in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, His blood cleanses us of all righteousness. It makes us pure. Healing properties. Over in Psalm 53, that's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is a description of our Lord crucified, and it says, by His stripes we are healed. Talking about how He was wounded for our transgressions. And by His stripes we are healed. in Revelation 22 where we find the New Jerusalem described, where God is and where the throne of God is, and there's this river flowing. And on either side, there's trees. Trees for every month for the healing of the nations. And that's in the same same context where in verse 5, it talks about He's the source of light. Light gives us the healing that we need. Are we providing healing for a world that desperately needs us? Needs it? Another description of light might be the fact that it provides warmth. And this is another one of those that's obvious. You know, you go outside and you enjoy the warmth of the sun. There's such a thing as heating lamps. And it's light that will warm an area up. And I'm just going to say that that's the general rule. You know, there are ways to get heat without light, but heat or light typically provides heat for us. And what I think about with this is I actually think about how we're reminded, and we've emphasized this over and over and over, that we are to be warm as people. As Christians, our disposition ought to be a warm and a pleasant disposition, because that's what's going to give us opportunity to teach others. If you go around and you're hateful in your speech, if you go around and you're harsh and bitter all the time, if you're constantly critical of everything, and you're grumbling and you're just miserable, you're not going to have an impact on somebody or have a chance. Because they don't want to be around that. So have a good attitude. And when you go back to our text in Philippians chapter 2, our text for the year, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights. He says that you do things without complaining and arguing, and he says you try to be blameless and harmless. You have a pleasant disposition about you. You be warm. You let the light of the gospel be a warmth that is pleasant to be around. You know, rather than the bitterness of cold. You know, I mean, over on the East Coast, you know, if you've been complaining about how cold it is here, just go look at what's happened on the East Coast. Bitter, bitter cold. How many people like to be out in that type of weather for a prolonged length of time? You know, you may enjoy it for a little while, but you got to get inside where it's warm so you can thaw. Well, we need to make the gospel pleasant. That's an example of it. Another description of light is the fact that it is dependable. I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing one thing about the sun and the moon that we can count on is the fact that they're going to do what they're supposed to do day in and day out. They don't change. And I'm going to tell you right now, evolution has a problem with this. They won't admit it. They'll bury it. Talk more about that in a few months. They've got a problem with this. But the fact is in Genesis chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, and in case you wonder what that's dealing with the end of the flood. And one of the things that the Lord God said when sacrifices were offered to Him by Noah is He said He would never again destroy the world by flood. And over there in verse number 22, He talks about as long as this world exists, the sun is going to rise and the sun is going to set. It's not going to change. We can count on the dependability of the sun. The dependability of that source of light which sustains us. Again in James 1 and verse 17, where God is described as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That's the light that we need. I'm going to tell you right now, we need consistency in our lives. If we want to let the light of the gospel shine in our lives, we need to have integrity. We need to be people whose word means something. Even if you don't sign a contract, or if you do sign a contract, you don't look for the technicality so that you can get out of what you've agreed to. Like so many people do today. Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. What more do we need than that? And in fact, it's actually stated anything more than that's of the devil. It's of the evil one. It's of the devil. So we need to be dependable. And finally, like attracts. You know, light is used to promote events. I haven't seen them lately, but you know the big giant spotlights that would shine around, and we could look out the sky from here in Bellflower, and you could see a light in Hollywood when something's going on. You know, those big old bright spotlights as they're going on. You go to a business, and in front of the business, there's flashing neon lights to get your attention. Come in here. Light attracts. And it also attracts bugs. I mean, you can look at it from that. I mean, light attracts. It attracts things. And when we talk about being Christians and we talk about being light, what's the point that's being made in all of this when you look at all of these qualities? It's the fact that when our light is shining brightly, it can attract others to Christ. And that takes me back to the verse that we began with today. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And thus you can see the qualities of light. Perhaps others could be added to these, but it's my hope that what we've said today is enough to show you that we need to shine as lights in this dark world. And not only that we need to shine, but what it means to shine as lights. And so I ask as we conclude this lesson, how is your light shining? And if it's not shining the way that it ought to, what can we do to help you change that? Lesson's yours. Open your songbooks now to number 597, God Calling Yet. We're still here, which means God is still calling. You still have an opportunity. If you have not made yourself right with God, you have a chance right now to do that. If you're not a child of God, you have opportunity to become a Christian this morning. If you are a child of God and you have not lived true to His Word, and there are things in your life that you need to repent of, you have not let your light shine the way that it ought to, take care of it. God is still calling for you to do that. And if there is some way we can assist you, we are here and we're ready to help. Whatever your need is, come forward as we